Father, we come now and we come to say thank you. Thank you for life, health, and strength, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand and proclaim your word. Thank you for the believers that have assembled themselves in this place today to have cooperative worship with you. Bless us now, and may everything we do be to the glory of you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. For our subject today, look at the to the choir. I didn't use your scripture, but I'm at the same place. For subject today, why you should praise the Lord. We're going to try to give you five or six reasons why you should praise him from Psalm, based upon Psalm 33. We live in a world that is cursed by sin and filled with problems as a result. As a result, some people are prone to focus on their trouble rather than their blessings. I didn't have a pause in there in my writing, but it need to be there, because we have a tendency when we're in the midst of stuff to forget about the blessing that God has showered upon us. We have a tendency to forget about where we used to be, what we were doing, how bad situations were. We just got ourselves out of them, and God, you brought this one. Oh, it's the other way around. As we witness the tragedies of this world and endure the trials of life, we can quickly lose sight of the fact that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Furthermore, the challenges presented by life circumstances can easily cloud our vision of one of the greater, of the one who is greater than the challenges that we face. This psalm that we are looking at today, 33, commands us to look around the world and see the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Then it commands us to look above this world and see that God is yet on his throne and in control of everything. Not just some, everything. Our blessings far outnumber our problems. When we do face trials, God sees them as well, and he springs into action. He comes to our aid and delivers us according to his will for our lives. When circumstances are beyond our control, they are well within the controls of God. I know things may seem to be out of hand and out of control, but God is yet in control. Praise him in the midst of the problem. Don't complain about the problem. Complaining and worrying do not take the problems away. We do not know who composed this psalm, nor do we know the occasion that it was composed of. But we do know this. As the people of God, we always have an abundant cause to rejoice in the Lord. And we should lift our hearts in unison to exalt his holy name. You ought to just praise him just because. Don't need to say finish it out just because. All of us, whether we are willing to admit it out loud or not, and have reason to praise this God because he brought us from a mighty long ways. Point number one. The Lord's word is trustworthy. Verses 4 and 5. We as a people can never exhaust the reasons to worship the Lord. But this psalmist offers us some specific reasons why we should worship him. We should sing unto the Lord because he has given us his word. We can trust what he says. The word of the Lord is right, it's perfect, and it's straight, and it's true. Talking about gun barrel straight. The word of the Lord is a straight arrow. There's not a crook in the word of the Lord. It's all straight. We, you, and I, however you want to say it, we can trust all that he does. He is faithful. The Lord has also revealed in his word that he is faithful in all his works, along with everything he says. We can trust everything that he does. Therefore, when we cannot understand what God is doing in our lives or why he is doing it, we must simply trust him. And remember, Brother Job said in Job 13 and 5, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Brothers and sisters, we just got to trust in his word. Go back and read and look at it sometime, and you'll find that we can trust God when you can't trust anybody else. You can trust the word of God. God has revealed his heart in his word. He loves righteousness and judgment. Because he loves righteousness and judgment, whatever he does is right. Therefore, God must condemn sin and execute perfect justice on all sin. Not some sin, all sin. Perfect justice will be executed on all sin. If we truly understand this, then we will tremble in terror, but at the same time, help me, Holy Ghost. God yet loves us as a result, he's filled at the same time with the love of God, only as God can love us. Some of us have said, and I know I have said this about some people, that's the only somebody can love that person is a mother. And it's the same way with a sinner. The only thing that can love a sinner is God, because he loves us all, because we all have been or now are going to be sinners at some time or other in your life. Forgiven of them now, but you were a sinner because you were born of the seed of Adam. But then you came to Christ, and Christ have taken your sins away. Justice will come on all those that are sinners. This is why some of us are reaping the results of stuff we've done in the days past that we have forgotten about. God knows what all you've done, and he will forgive you of your sin. But I forgot that there were consequences of my sin. Might have committed them 15 or 20 years ago, and I have forgotten about them. But God, there are consequences of it. Does he hold stuff against you? No. But there are consequences. If you sin, brothers and sisters, there are consequences. But you can trust in the word of the Lord. God's word is trustworthy. Y'all, I enjoyed this week. And almost changed my message, but I couldn't. Because it was talking too loud to me. God will help us. Will get us out of stuff if we just trust in him and don't give up. Play the whole game. Play the whole game. Don't play three quarters. Play the whole game. And then you'll see what he has for you. Because of his goodness and his mercy, he will bless us. We should praise the Lord because he has given his word. God's word is completely reliable, 100% reliable. You may think you know somebody that's reliable and everything they say is the truth. But I beg to differ with this because all of us somewhere in our lives have said something that we were not able. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mama and Papa. Yeah, them too. You too. Me three. All of us have said something. But the word of God is completely reliable. God will do just what he said he would do. If we come to him and receive his son, we will find that his word is trustworthy. You can trust God's word. As we study God's word, we get to know God better. As we get to know him better, we learn to trust him a whole lot more. If you don't trust God anymore in 2015 than you did in 2014, you're standing still and going backwards. You ought to trust him a little bit more. Whatever God promised you that you received yesterday, if you follow his word today, his promise will go forward. It will not go backwards. Point number two. The Lord is the creator. Verses 6 through 9. This psalm has charged us to praise the Lord because of his wonderful works in creation. He created the heavens and the stars by merely speaking. In addition to being totally trustworthy, God's word is indescribably powerful. You think the Eveready battery has power. You need to tap into the power of God. That's the power. This psalmist reminds us of an amazing fact. All the things in the world began with the word of the Lord, with the exception of man and animals, which were formed from the earth. God spoke, and the universe came into existence, created boundaries for the sea by setting them in the deep, in a deep reservoir. This too was accomplished by the word of God. The wonders of creation point to the fact that there is a God behind it all. And we can trust this God who is the creator, the maker of all good and perfect gifts. There is a God behind it, and he is one far greater than we are. He's greater than we are. He spoke and the earth appeared. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that you see, God created it. He created it because of the power that's in his Word. This is why, brothers and sisters, it's so important that we harness our mouth when we start, especially when we get angry. You say things that you don't mean. You say it because you have anger that's in you. That's why you need to watch your words. Pick your words. That's why you hear me tell you sometimes, put your tongue between your teeth and bite down on it. It's hard to talk when you're biting on your tongue. Because you will say something, you speak it. You speak it. We do not have enough faith to believe in the word of God. You speak it into existence. God's word has power. You speak his word. He loves for us to tell him what he said when you speak his word back to him because of your belief and your faith and your trust in it. You trusting in him, not in yourself. But you're trusting in him because he created this all, and I am his child. And I know, my wife and I, we only have two biological children. Got a lot more that's not biologically, but we got two. And I love the Lord. If one of them have need of something, I may have to get it to them and she not know it. But I'm going to get it to them. Why? Because they're seed. They're my seed. And I'm their father. And I only go to God when I am in need of something. And I go to him all the time. Because he's my father. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that he loves me. And that's the way we need to. That's the way I'm trusting in his word because he is the creator. He made me. He created me. He formed me. He knows everything about me. So he ought to take care of me. But I have to serve him. Are you saying, Baggett, that God's obligated? His word. He will fulfill his word, not because of me, but because of his word come out of his mouth. He will fulfill his word. No, I can't make him do anything. But I can repeat his word back to him. There's not too many parents, especially when their children were small, if they could provide what they needed, they got it. I'm your parent and I'm supposed to provide for you. God is that way. He's our Father. And he loves us and he will provide for us. The same thing goes for mothers too. You know, you're a provider too. Point number three. The Lord's plans stand firm. Verses 10 through 12. God created the world. And he rules over it. He has a plan for the nations of the world. And his purpose will ultimately prevail. Just like he has a plan for the world, the different nations of the world, he got a plan for your life. And it will prevail. It's that you worship him, the true and the living God. And if you worship him and you serve him, things will go well. God can and does frustrate the plans of nations when the actions of the world leaders are contrary to God's purpose. He overrules them and in the end works them out to accomplish his will. Same thing about you in your life. When your plans go contrary to the will of God, your plans will fail. And God's plan will work out. They will work out. You might not understand it as it's happening in your life, but it will. Trying to get that job that you know is the job that you need. This job, you can make all the money that you need to make. It looks like you're going to get the job. Seemed to be going well. You interviewed well. You did everything right. But then when it comes down to it, you do not get the job. Somebody got a cousin four times removed and they needed a job. And they got the job. And you did just like I did and a lot of you got fighting mad. You gonna do this and you gonna do that. 6 months later, the company closed down. Look where you would have been. Your plan, if it's not God's plan, it's not going to work out. Everything that have not worked out the way you thought it should work out, you keep trusting in God. And everything will be all right. But you got to trust in him. You got to know his plan will stand firm. If you are his child, you may go through difficult times. But in the end, you'll step out on resurrection ground. Just like his son did. His son went through crucifixion on a cross. Died the most humiliating death that there could have been in his day and time. Oh, but the third day morning, he walked out on resurrection ground. See, God won't have his children to go through something that he himself is not going to get the glory from. God will receive glory. And this is what we need to let people know whose side we're on. You need to live a life so your life will be a praise to other people about this God that you serve. If you just wait till Sunday morning when you get in church to praise God, you're missing it. You ought to praise him everywhere. Your life ought to be a praise to God. If you can't praise him with your life, why you gonna have to wait till you get in church? This is an isolated area. Everybody in here ought to be, supposed to be, ought to be, want to be believers. It's easy to, when you're in where everybody, in all of us are just alike. But when you're on that job, and that person in that next cubicle to you have called you everything in the book except the child of God, you ought to praise him then. Why are you singing that song? You just don't know. If I didn't have some God inside of me, hey, we'd be doing it right now. Because I got some God inside of me. He won't let me. That's when you praise him, when times are difficult and the flesh in you want to rise up. God's plan needs to stand firm. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He's with you all the time, but we have to recognize that he's there, and we have to yet stand on the word of God. Don't give them ground to say that you are not a believer. You stand firm on the plans of God. God's word is true. It's true. He won't leave you, and he no more will come to you then you can stand. God will get you out of it. Whatever it is, if it gets too difficult, he'll make a way for you to escape. You got to know that. Yes, no matter how difficult it is, you yet got to stand. And I'm not telling y'all something. When it gets difficult and you don't know what to do, you just, if they don't have you shackled down, just walk away. We used to say it's better to say there he go than say there he lay. Sometimes you have to get out, because the word of God will stand for, and God will stand on his word. You can get through whatever you are in because you're trusting in God and you're praising him. And the way you can really get them is when it starts happening, just show your 32s. They wonder, why in the world is that joker smiling? I just told him that he got to work this weekend and he wants to go to the ball game, but he got to come to work. Just smile. Thank you. Y'all have given them fake smiles before, so it ain't nothing new. But do it. And after you've done it for so long, it will be real. First, and some of us that saved don't like to say stuff like this, don't like to admit stuff about ourselves. When you first start serving God, you did a lot of faking because you didn't know what you were doing. But now you've been here about 2 days and you think you know everything. No. You ought to praise him. And in the beginning, you might be faking. But after a while, you won't be faking. And some people, after you get real, if you leave it to everybody that's in church with you, everybody in here don't think you're a believer. Don't you one time think that? Yeah, they don't know. They don't know. They remember on me, but they don't remember on themselves. I remember on you. I need to remember on me and forget about you. God's plan stand firm. The purposes of the Lord cannot be overthrown. The purposes of the Lord cannot be overthrown. So, brothers and sisters, we need to make sure whatever we are doing are in the purposes of the Lord. And we are guaranteed that we are going to succeed. It will not be overthrown. His plan will stand, not sometime, all the time. His plans will stand forever. Nations led by ungodly rulers may strive against God with their own strength, but they cannot prevail. Just like nations, individuals can prevail against you if you are a child of God, but they will not prevail, and you won't have to do anything about it. God will protect you, and he will bless you. God bless those people, nations, and nations who acknowledge him as Lord God Almighty. You need to acknowledge him as the Lord of your life. And when you acknowledge him as Lord of your life, this means you will be living the way that he needs for you to live. His plans are firm and cannot be sidetracked. As we live in a world system that is in direct opposition to God's will, we can be greatly encouraged by the fact that God is still on his throne. What he has ordained will come to pass. Throughout history, ungodly people have tried to rise up against God in opposition to him and his people. But I can tell you this, they have all failed because God is yet on the throne. We need to stand because God's word is what we are standing on. And if you're standing on the word of God, everything will be all right. May have difficult times, but God's word will stand firm. And if you're standing on the word of God, everything will be all right. Point number four, the Lord sees everything, every moment of the day. That's verses 13 and 15. The Lord, he witnesses everything that happens here on this earth. We can receive great comfort from knowing that God cares about us and is aware of every detail of our life. You can't abuse a child of God, and God does not know it. He sees it and he knows it, and he has a record of all the things that's done. At some time, we must answer to him about our lives. At the same time, we must answer by every word we say. That's why I said earlier, you need to watch your words and make sure what you say is according to the word of God. We will be judged by every word that we say, everything that you do and say. God is sitting high and he's looking low. I used to wonder sometime how he could see something way over yonder somewhere in Pensacola and see me here in Crestview as well. I don't know. I can't explain it, but he just does. The big word is he's omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere and he knows everything and he has all power in his hand. So therefore, the Lord sees everything. When you mistreat a child of God, don't you one time think that God does not see it? And someone said, I think it was Brother Leo Daniel in the yesterdays of his life, he said God had a sacred pen that he wrote things down on, a pen that would not erase and it would not burn up. So sometimes in records can get burned up and then people can get away with stuff. But God's record is written on a divine book with a divine pen by a divine hand, and it's written there, and God sees and knows everything that we are doing. If we are his children, he sees what we do. If you're working for God and nobody knows it but you and God, that's all right. God has it written down with a divine pen. And one of these days, when you stand in front of him, he'll read the record and the record will be clear. God sees everything. Those people that mistreat you and don't think that nobody knows it, God sees it and he knows it, and it's written down in a book. So therefore, all we got to do is stay true to God and know that his word is true. The Lord is carefully, and he is observing every human being, and your life will testify of how you live. And because God's watching all of us, it testifies of his character. He sees all and he knows all and he loves all. You got to know that God is seeing you when you think nobody sees you. When you think nobody knows what you've done, God knows, and he will. If you don't repent of your sin, he will read you your rights of when you come and stand in front of him. Not only does the Lord observe our action, he also examines our heart. He looks at our heart. Some people do good deeds. They perform good deeds, but their heart is not of the heart of God. They just trying to do something so everybody will like them and talk about what they're doing. But your heart got to be right. Nobody else may know, but God sees the heart. And if the heart's not right, what you're doing look good to everybody else. But you need to understand that God got a divine record, and he sees it and he knows. I can't see your heart, and you can't see mine, but God can see both of them, and he knows the intent of the heart. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Some people do good deeds, but they have an underhanded method, or something wants something else for what they've done. They pat you on the back, so you will pat them on the back. No, you got to do it from your heart. Don't help somebody because you think they can help you next month. You help them because of the love of God, because it's in your heart. God sees the heart. He sees everything and knows everything that we do. Well, God, we are like the pot. The clay is in the potter's hand. God can shape us and mold us like he needs for us to be. Sometimes we have to grow with our heart coming towards God, because the world is filled with so much evil, and we have allowed the world to infiltrate our heart. And we think, if you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. No, if you find my cat, bring him home, and that will help me in my walk. God has fashioned our heart, and we should praise the Lord for his knowing everything. You can hide what you're doing from people, but you can't hide it from God. I wonder why that we can't hide it, because he sees everything and everywhere about everybody all at the same time. We are so important to God that he even numbered the hairs on our head. I know some of them, my brothers are saying, I don't have any. But God can see that what's not there. He can see it. He knows how many you have. He knows how many you've lost. He knows everything that there is to know about you. We are so important that he numbered them there. But he will execute his perfect justice on this earth. He has the all-seeing eye. You may think Scotland Yard can pick up on you anywhere. They tell me now that with GPS, they can find out where you are. But God can see something that GPS cannot see. God can see the intent of your heart. And if you're not doing right, the all-seeing eye will penetrate the heart, and he will know that you're not doing what you're doing. Nobody else can see your heart. We just see the results of the stuff you do. But God can see your heart. He knows you better than your spouse or your mother or your father, because he's looking at the heart. We can't hide from God. There's some people that escape prison and they hide from him, but God knows right where they are. You can't hide from him because he's everywhere, and he sees everything. He sees us every moment, and he knows our heart all the time. Point number 5, the Lord delivers all who fear him. That's in verses 16 through 22. The psalmist called the righteous to praise the Lord because he delivered those who trust in him. When we fear him, he will shield us through all the troubles and the attacks of the enemy. He does not deliver them because of how strong their army is, or how much power, or how much resources that they have. The psalmist acknowledged an encouraging fact. Victory does not belong to the biggest and the strongest. David was a young, unimpressive in stature, and he was a mighty warrior. He slew Goliath the giant, but David had a secret weapon. He had God on his side. And if God on your side may seem like a little with you, but with God it's a whole lot. Because he has power, the all-seeing eye of the Lord, not weapons or human strength or the security of those who fear him. His mercy and unfailing love, rather than our own resources, causes us to hope. We have hope because we know where our strength and our help come from. My help comes from the Lord, Lord God Almighty. He's my help in time of trouble. When everybody else have left me alone, God will not leave me alone, because I'm his child. That's why you ought to praise him, because he's always there. If you fear him, you'll trust him. Not a fear that he's going to wipe you out, but it's a fear, a reverential fear. It's a fear because I respect him and he's Lord God Almighty. I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God, and he's worthy to be praised. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him when nobody else wanna praise him. You just praise the Lord, and God will not leave you alone. Well, I got to get out your way. Point number six is my last point. Point number six, the Lord deserves to be praised. That's from verses 1 through 3. He deserves to be praised. The psalmist called the righteous to praise the Lord. Everybody can't praise God because they are not the righteous. Only the righteous can praise this God. Everybody that come to church don't praise God. They just come because they are used to coming. But every now and then, the righteous have to stand up and praise this God. I want to be numbered in the righteous that stand up and praise this God. Why do you praise him, Baggin? Because he brought me from a mighty long ways. And where he brought me from is nothing like where he's going to take me to. I'm going home. I'm on my way to glory, to be with Jesus. Don't mind it. Might look like I'm crazy. Might act like it sometime. But I'm crazy for the Lord. I'm going to praise him. I want to be numbered in the righteous, those that praise him. Might walk around and look like I'm lost sometime, but when I look like I'm lost, I'm praising God, because y'all don't know where he brought me from. I know that he brought me, and if he brought me, he'll bring you. You got to praise him. If God's been good to you, you'll praise him no matter what happens. Oh, Lord, I thank you. You're worthy to be praised. I'm going to praise you no matter what. Don't let the devil take your praise. He'll try to steal your praise. But in spite of everything, you got to praise him. What is it? Praise is who I am. Praise is what I do. I'm going to praise him. No matter what happens, I'm going to praise him, because he's been good to me. He's Lord. He's God all by himself. Doesn't need my help, but he's God. He's just been good to me.
from y'all. Please, please hear me. We, the Lord deserves to be praised. If you don't do anything else, praise God. Praise Him because of who He is. Praise Him because of where He brought you from. Praise Him when I don't know why I'm praising Him. Praise Him. Praise Him because of who He is. And if for no other reason, you ought to praise Him for the blessings that are yet to come. I claim my blessings of tomorrow. I claim them because if He brought me through today, He's already at tomorrow. God is an awesome God. Brothers and sisters, you got to praise Him. If nobody else praise Him, you ought to praise Him. Every one of us in here got something that we ought to praise God for. If it's for no other reason that you're still inhaling and exhaling, you ought to praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. Don't allow the devil or his imps to take your praise. Don't allow them to take it. Just because the choir don't sing your favorite song, it doesn't mean you don't praise God. You praise Him. You praise Him because of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The past, the present, and the future. You just praise Him, brothers and sisters. You praise Him. I'm through, but I wrote this out, and if for no other reason, I gave you 6 points. If for no other reason, you ought to praise Him for those 6 points. The Lord's word is trustworthy. The Lord is the creator and the maker of the world. The Lord's plan stands firm. Just like He saved Moses, He'll save you. The Lord sees everyone, every moment, and everything. Number 5, the Lord delivers all who fear Him. Number 6, the Lord deserves to be praised. He deserves to be praised. And we need to praise Him. Praise Him. And I'm going to say this again. If you only praise Him when you come in here Sunday morning, you're missing it. You're missing it. You need to praise Him. Praise Him all the time. I told you several weeks ago, we come in here to worship. We go out to serve. And when I serve, I'm praising Him. I'm praising Him. You have to praise Him, brothers and sisters. And don't think that it's just something that happens to you. You have to learn how to praise Him. And then you have to know yourself how to praise Him, that you are praising Him. You might not get emotional like me. You might just sit there and cry or grieve inside, but you are praising the Lord. I didn't have a story, but saying that, I thought about one. There was 2 young boys. One was saved and one was not. And the saved one invited the unsaved one to go to church with him. And he went to church with him. They were sitting there in service and they were singing. The choir was singing and everybody was jumping up, clapping. Both of the 2 little boys were sitting there side by side, being just like the grandmamas had taught them to be. And they were just sitting there, real respectful and everything. All through service, people were shouting and running all over the place. They did nothing or said anything. On the way home, the saved guy asked the unsaved, what he thought was unsaved, said, "Did you enjoy church?" He said, "Yes, I enjoyed it." He said, why was all those people jumping up and running around and shouting all over, jumping up all over the place? He said, oh, they are the ones that's the saved in the church. He said, oh. Then he looked at the one that was saved and said, are you saved? He said, yes. He said, well, why you wasn't jumping up and running around? He said, I was watching you to wait to see what you were going to do. Saying you didn't do anything, and so since I invited you, I didn't want you to feel bad. Why in the world is he telling us that? Don't you be like the young boy that was saved. Because if you are saved and you are praising God, you are being a witness to somebody else. You don't know who you're witnessing to. Serve God the best way you know how. And God will get the glory. One of the points was he sees all and he knows all. He's looking at the heart. He was looking at the heart of those two boys that were in service. He touches each one of us different. And I said this because it's the truth and it's about me, so I can keep saying it. On that pew at that little church on Roosevelt Street in Baker, I'd sit there on that front pew and listen to the preacher preach. And a whole bunch of Sundays, I praised him, but I never moved. Tears running down my cheek. I sat there and I praised God. Oh, but now, when I come in, sometimes I think I'm going to cry. I can't make myself cry. But I can stand up and I can tell somebody about this God that I serve. Because I know where he brought me from. I know where he's taken me to. I know who he is. I experience him for myself. And that's what I hope and I pray for everybody here. You experience God for yourself. And then you'll know. You'll be able to stand up and say, I'm going to praise him. If nobody else does, he got one praiser. And that's me. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to come to Christ. If you do not know him in the pardon of your sins, this is an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.